Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Kiwi, and with me this week is a BP.
Hello.
This week we're playing Overboss, a boss monster adventure. The designer was Aaron Mesburn and Kevin Russ, who also designed Calico. The artist, there was a bunch of them actually. The cover art was done by Darren Calvert, and then all the pixel art for the actual components of the game were done by Bertrand Depew, Alberto Hernandez, Masai Olade, Danny Oliver, and Rao. And it was published this year in 2020, and it was published by Brotherwise Games, which you might know of Boss Monster and Call to Adventure. The game description. In Overboss, rival boss monsters emerge from their dungeons to conquer the overworld. Each turn, players draft and place terrain tiles and monster tokens. Their goal? To craft the map with the greatest power and become the ultimate overboss.
You can't see, listening audience, that Kiwi is holding up his arms as if he were
at the gun show. Which way to the gun show?
No,
is it this way?
No, I was.
Is it that way? Do you have tickets?
A wrestler, which your voice reminded me of.
You know. Like a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the mechanics are card drafting, pattern building, pieces as map, set collection, and a tile placement. And the
I do like maps.
The cover art reminds me of like the cover art you would see on a Nintendo NES. So an NES game. Kind of that there's like a big, I think that's like Crocus or something like that. That's the name of that boss monster. And he's got like his hand over a bunch of tiles, making up the land in front of him. It definitely seems like either a Saturday morning cartoon from like the 80s or mm-hmm. a Nintendo game box art, kind of that sort of style.
It also reminds me of King of Tokyo.
Okay. Yeah. Art style wise or the way it's laid out.
Art.
Okay. So would you pick this up off the shelf?
I do enjoy Boss Monster.
Okay.
Card drafting does not excite me.
Okay.
The art itself is pretty interesting. Brotherwise, though, I do tend to like some of their games. I'd give it a whirl.
Yeah. I think obviously I would pick it up. I backed the Kickstarter. But for many of the same reasons that BP said, Brotherwise Games, which we've enjoyed, I think everything that we've played that they've, of theirs that we've played, we do like Boss Monster. And I do like this art style.
Mm-hmm.
Like definitely nostalgic back to, you know, I was mm-hmm. talking about 80s cartoons and Nintendo games.
You know, you're dating yourself.
I am. But I also, there's something about pixel art that I really enjoy, and I'm not sure what it is. So like, I'm willing to play most games that have pixel art. And I don't know why. I just don't.
It's nostalgia.
Yeah. So how do you think it's played?
Card drafting.
Okay.
I really wasn't paying attention to anything you said.
Do you want me to read off the description again?
Yes.
Okay. In Overboss, rival boss monsters emerge from their dungeons to conquer the overworld. Each turn, players draft and place terrain tiles and monster tokens. Their goal, to craft the map with the greatest power and become the ultimate overboss.
Okay. So we're crafting maps.
Okay.
Because it sounds like we're trying to attract the monsters to us.
Okay.
Right? Well, we want to control the monsters. So, yeah, we're going to funnel the monsters to us because we want them, because we want to be overboss. We want to be like CEO. I don't know how I went CEO.
Yeah, well, I mean, monsters, the CEOs, right? They're pretty much synonymous.
Pattern building. So I'm assuming that the tiles that we are drafting to place, like we're only going to be able to place them in certain manners, right? Like you can't have like a dead end connect, right? Like it can't connect to anybody, anything, because it's a dead end. Like to your cave.
Alhambra.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think the card drafting, as I use air quotes, is really tile drafting.
Okay. That makes sense.
And then we've got this other player board with little like almost vendor markets on it. So I'm assuming like we're going to, and it looks almost like you're conjuring up. So I'm assuming that we are also going to, we want set collection. We're going to want certain types of monsters. Like you can't have your monsters like mixing because one might eat the other.
Ooh.
Yeah. So there's going to be a market area that's not in any of the mechanics or description that is somehow going to lend us to, collecting a set of monsters. There we go.
Okay, great. So the history of monsters.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for me this week?
Okay. So this idea of as you were reading it, Boss Monster Adventure, it reminded me, I don't know, I went Greek, so Greek mythology, and this idea, and it kind of even with the whole like pattern laying, reminded me of Minotaur and Theseus story, you know?
Yeah.
Who was it? Daedalus, who was the architect.
Daedalus.
Right. He built the labyrinth, supposedly, to hide, right, the...
Although Daedalus is the architect of dad jokes.
I was really laughing. I mean, but he kind of is, because his son, you know, also... Yeah.
Wasn't his son flew close to close to the sun? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, anyway, the Minotaur, to hide the Minotaur, which was the offspring of, like, the king's wife or whatever, because she was, anyway.
Because it's Greek.
It's Greek, and women always get the downfall in every story. But anyway, I was just thinking about that, right? Because, like, in that story, you wanted the monster not to find its way out. In this story, it sounds like we want the monsters to kind of come out. But it also, when I first was thinking about, like, I was thinking, oh, what's a monster boss? And for some reason, in just looking at the image here, because underneath the title Overboss on the box, and it says a Boss Monster Adventure, there's like an eye. And so then it reminded me also of the Cyclops. And the Cyclops are interesting, not necessarily from the Odysseus story, but from the Theogony story, right, where women are the most evil creation in the universe. The Cyclops actually, according to Hesiod in his Theogony, gave Zeus like his ultimate like thunder lightning power. It was one of the skills that they created in their blacksmith shop, gave that to him, and he used it to overthrow Cronus, his father, and take over and the downfall of the Titans. So he was the only one left standing.
Yeah, and they threw him down in a pit, right?
Yeah. So Zeus, you know, fantastic overboss.
Zeus, I mean, not that great.
No, I know, but he's for an overboss, like.
Oh, I mean, I'll take Odin over Zeus, but that's it.
Well, right, but he is like the monstery monster. Like he would be a boss of monsters because he is like a monster, basically.
True. All right, so to play the game. I mean, I don't know where else to go with that. I already did my Daedalus joke. I got nothing. I'm spent. Okay, so. Players are going to take turns drafting tiles and minion mini-bosses until everyone has a full player board. Players will earn points based on the tiles on their board and the mini minion bosses they place. The first player is the last one to have raised a full legion of the undead. I don't remember the last time I did that.
So.
Okay. Let's get ready for this.
When I introduce reading sources to my students, I always talk about how we're not necromancers, but I kind of do raise the dead in raising their stories.
All right, I will give it to you. It does go on to say, but if no one is up to that simple task, then do it randomly.
Random. We don't need random. I communicate with dead people all the time.
All right. So at the start of the game, players will get two boss cards and they are able to select one. Each boss has a reveal power that you can activate once per game and you turn your boss card face up. And then each of the bosses also has a scoring objective for in-game points. The start player will draft a tile and a token pair from the four available in the market. They would then place the tile on their player board. Then they place the token on an available terrain tile if one is available. And if there isn't, then they put it in their lair, which on our board is in the bottom right. It's got like the monster head and the ruins and the wells and stuff. Mm-hmm. The dungeon tile cannot have There's dungeon tiles in there as well. Those cannot have tokens on them. If you draw one with a crystal, those go in your lair and you'll get additional points for matching tiles of that type. And portals are placed in your lair and they have a one-time use and they allow you to move minions and mini bosses around on your map. Each minion has a preferred terrain that will score extra points, and the market is replenished and play moves to the next player.
So I was right about the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. There are also four command cards that are out near the market board that display patterns. When a player builds a pattern that matches one of those cards, they activate the command, which gives them the ability to affect other players' boards. Once every player has filled their player board with tiles, the game is done and scoring is completed. So each of the tiles will have a base value and then additional scoring method. There's, I think, 10 tiles or 10 or 11 different tiles in the game, but you only choose five plus the dungeons. You'll get a different game every time. So dungeons want to be orthogonally adjacent to different types of terrain. So there you go. Forests will score points.
You got your orthogonal.
I got my orthogonal one. Forests will score points based on the number of tiles the player has on their board. Graveyards have various base points, and the players with the most and second most will get additional points. Orc camps will score as a set based on the number of unique camps. They all have like a different colored flag up in the top right to show which camp they are, I guess. Caves get points for bordering mountain edges on your map. And so those are pretty easy to tell. You got mountain and water sections on our player boards. Swamps get points for being adjacent to water or other swamps. Castles get additional points for having vampires in them. Volcanoes destroy tokens surrounding them. Summoning circles allow you to exchange tokens on tiles bordering the circle tile. Deserts score based on the size of the connected group they create. And cloud islands score 7 points minus the number of different tile types on your map. So each mini boss scores as well. If they're in a straight line of two or more tokens, it's called a band. Less the musical band, more like a band of roving minions. And then minions score based on the size of their band and an additional point if they are placed on their preferred terrain.
Like bandits almost?
Yes. Mini bosses score 2 points and do not count towards bands. Crystals gain a point for each tile of the matching terrain type. Finally, you score the boss objective. The player with the most points is the winner. If tied, it goes to the player with the highest tile score. If it's still tied, it goes to the player with the most matching monsters. And if it's still tied, then they share the victory. And conveniently, the score pads actually break it out so that you know how many points you got for tiles and how many you got for monsters. And those are all the rules.
Let's play.
Okay. We just finished our game of Overboss. BP, who basically built Cloud City, had 56 boss points. And Kiwi...
Why not monster points?
Monster points? Sure. I thought monster points. I don't know why I went with boss points. So,
boss monster.
BP, who built Cloud City, has 56 monster points. And Kiwi, who had a smattering of everything and really no rhyme or reason to any of his stuff... had 57 monster points for the win. Oh, good job, Kiwi. Thank you. What was your strategy? Oh, well, let me tell you what my strategy was.
I'm glad you could have conversations with yourself I'm over here steaming at you.
I'll just podcast on my own. So I had the Brothers Wise as my monster or my boss, which wanted me to build pairs of tiles. So I just tried to make pairs of tiles and then tried my best to pick stuff that had the same monster so I could get points with my bands. That's where I got a big chunk with my bands.
I forgot about bands. You did get a big chunk and I was like, what are bands?
So that's what I did. BP, what was your strategy?
We started with clouds coming up, so I wanted to go clouds.
Yeah, which, I mean, you were like going into the mini boss and minion section, you were ahead by 10 points because you got 24 points just out of that, those cloud tokens. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a good strategy.
It really was your bands, which
it was.
I
yes.
realized, I don't know that I could have done anything differently. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
So the theme, did you feel like you were an overboss or a boss building a map?
No.
Yeah, neither did I. I felt like I was just placing time. I felt like I was building a map. I did feel that, but I didn't feel bossy.
No.
Yeah.
There was no boss part about it. Yeah. But there's such good looking tiles.
Yes. We'll jump right in. So we did not feel like we were bosses building our terrain, but we did feel like we were map building.
Yeah.
So table presence. BP, what did you think of the art?
Super cool. Like even just the little market board.
So that was a Kickstarter exclusive.
Oh, yeah. So it's got like these cool little medieval little tents over booths kind of thing. Super, super cool with looks like you're going to raise dungeons. But even all the tiles are pretty unique. They have little, even in the clouds, they have monsters coming out of the clouds. They have lightning and that pixel art really comes through, especially in the foresty. Oh, I just noticed there's little dragons or something sleeping in hammocks.
Yeah. Or maybe a slime or an ooze, maybe?
Yeah. No, they're cool. And even the little whatever with the minion monsters on them. Just super, super great art.
So a couple of weeks ago, I brought up with Alhambra where every blue building was basically the same. And we had talked about I really wish that the 3 park was smaller and less significant than the 12 park. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this, every single tile is different. Mm-hmm. All the dungeons are different. Like the deserts, the forests, not a single tile is the same.
No.
This really speaks to my love of pixel art. I like the way it looks on the board too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the bottom of the player board where your layer is, there's places ruins. That match up. There's ruins that match up with the portal tokens and the crystal tokens so that you have fun places and you can kind of build out your layer. So they really did build out more stuff on the player board. And on the other side of this player board is a 4x4 grid to do a longer game. Mm. And your layer is just off to the side. There's no layer on that board. But this is the classic game is what they called it. Which is a bold statement seeing as how the game just came out. This is the classic way to play. Mm-hmm. Mechanics, I think it's nothing crazy, right? Mm-mm. It's just tile drafting and placement. The command cards that we played with are technically an add-on, but I felt like it gave you a little something to shoot for and it gave you powers. I don't think I would want to play without it.
Yeah.
I think I would recommend it's technically in an advanced section in the book. I think it should have been just part of the game.
Yeah.
I think we'll get into it with interaction, but I think without that, the game would be very
solo.
Yeah, very solo. So I thought that was good. Same thing with the boss cards. Mm. The boss cards are also advanced rule add-on, which I thought was good. You got good use out of your reveal power. My reveal power was good right up until another cloud. I tried to stop you from getting a cloud. But then another cloud came up, so it didn't matter. Adding in that extra...
You can't stop my cloud city.
That little extra scoring bit at the end also gives it... I think we've talked about it in other games where when you have your own end game scoring thing, it kind of gives you a strategy to go for. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what to do, you can at least be like, hey, I'm going to do this thing right here, and which is what I went for. So yeah, rules. What did you think about picking it up, BP?
Pretty straightforward within a round. I don't think you ever went into the rule book either.
No, I think the only time I went into the rule book was the first couple times we did command. Mm-hmm. And then once we did the card, that power once, I didn't go back into the book.
Yeah.
So, and I think we did look for the individual tile scoring, but just the once, I think. And it was towards the beginning, just so everybody sort of understood hey, this is how this tile wants to be played and scored. So. What did you think about, since there's no words on the tiles, what did you think about iconography?
I had to ask you all the time. I don't know that, especially on the command cards, that it's exactly straightforward. Maybe after playing it a couple of times, you'll get the hang of it. But like, even now, I'm just looking at some of those being like, I don't know. Maybe you're swapping stuff. I don't know. Some of these are a little bit more like, this reminds me of Sushi Go, where it has like the, you know, the slashing for the numbers that I'm guessing on that's your set collection.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, no, they are not intuitive.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the one good thing, though, is they do have. So we're looking at a sheet right here.
It's a very big player.
Yeah, because on one side, it's a quick start guide to get you immediately into setup. So like technically, I don't even think you would need the rule book. You just pull this out and it has everything. And on the opposite side, it's really just a big player aid is what it is. It's got all the scoring for the basic tiles and advanced tiles. I think while the iconography might, I agree, BP, I think a couple of playthroughs and you would have it. But there's enough in the box that I don't think anything was confusing once we read the...
Yeah, no.
And that goes into the rule book. I mean, the rules themselves are super simple. So it was easy to get there. Like, there's not... I don't even think there's examples in the book. It's just like, you're done. There's example scoring bits, but that's it. And I do... Like, I'm glad that they didn't put the text on the tiles because it would have taken away from the art. So they tried to minimize how much was on the tile to maximize... art, which I think was a good call. Player interaction. So we kind of alluded to it before.
Yeah. I think, you know, two players. So whenever we got the command cards, we definitely did try to thwart each other, but not a whole lot.
Yeah. Like I said before, like, I think if you're going to play this game, you definitely need to play with the command cards, or you're essentially playing a solo game. There is a solo variant. You're like trying to play against some kind of like AI almost. I don't think I would ever play it that way. I think I would always play it with another person. But yeah, command cards for sure. Boss cards for sure. Don't play without those, I think. So the quintessential question, the question that we always conclude with, would you play this again?
Yeah.
I think it's a good...
It's fast.
Yes. And I would play it again, too. I think it's a quick game. I think it'd be a game that, like, it's quick to teach. It's easy to teach. It's fast to play. So it might be a game that you just kind of, like, throw down and get everybody into a gaming mood. Because it goes so quick, you can play it fast and then move into another game. But I don't think it's a game that you would, like, come back to constantly.
Yeah. It's really pretty, though.
Yeah.
Like, those tiles are just super cool. I really like the art.
Yeah, which is another reason to kind of bring it to the table, I think.
Yeah. But that might be a lot of what it has going for it in my book. Like, I mean, just the... I mean, mechanics-wise...
We're going back.
I know. I don't feel like it had a lot... of interest, you know, or strategy. Like, I don't know. Definitely would not play it without the command cards.
Yeah.
But it is just so, it is so pretty that I would play it again just to...
Yeah, it's no Call to Adventure for sure. Like, I think Call to Adventure is probably Brother Wise's best game. And I wouldn't even call this second best. I would say Boss Monster itself is probably their next best game. I think it's a good filler game. So there we have it. That is Overboss, a Boss Monster Adventure.
If you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, just send them our way. You can do so email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or hit us up Twitter, Instagram, we're at firstturncast. And the lost podcasting camel, he ascended to the cloud city of BP. And so from below, he just says, please don't rate review. Oh, wait.
Yeah, he'd be above.
Yeah. So yeah, talking to below. Yes. Okay, wait. Okay. So, okay. Podcasting Camel in the Cloud City is like, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to all your favorite podcatchers. And we look forward to hearing from you. Play more games. I can shout.
Wow. I don't know. I felt like being an announcer.